I've seen him do greater things. We trust him. Over in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. This is kind of a strange text for a Palm Sunday. But I'm hoping as we go through this that it will gel for you and you will understand. Isaiah was one of the great statesmen for God. He had prestige. He was a man of learning. Tremendous man of God. God speaking through him. In verse 18, very popular scripture. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What is the word that echoes that sweet music of the heart of God in every part of the Bible? Can you think of one word, the theme of which runs all the way through the Bible, and it brings that very sweet music from the very heart of God to mankind? What is the word that God spoke to man before he destroyed the earth with a flood? What was the word that the prophets and the apostles, Old Testament and New Testament, cried out to mankind? What is the word that brought Peter to Jesus? What is the word that so often was spoken by the lips of Jesus? Same word. The word that he spoke to little children and to the weary and the heavy laden. One word. It's a word which, when disobeyed, bring sorrow to the heart of Jesus, to the heart of Christ. What is that word that brings the Bible to a close and strikes that final chord of music to mankind? Same word. What is that word which is inscribed upon the very golden gates of heaven itself? That word is a very simple four-letter word. Come. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Webster's dictionary defines it an action word to move toward something, to approach. The second definition is to move or journey to a vicinity with a specific purpose. It's one of the sweetest words in all of the Bible. Come. It's used over 1,400 times in the Old Testament and 657 times in the New Testament. It signifies a call of God or a call of Jesus. The first call of God to come that's listed in the Bible is one of salvation. Genesis chapter 7 verse 1 in the New King James Version. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark. You and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. I love this because God says, come into the ark. That notes something. It means that God was in the ark. So if you wanted to be with God, you'd come into the ark. Don't forget that. The last call that went forth was in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 in the New King James Version. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is athirst come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. You can delete from the Bible the one that you carry in your hand, whether it's the Bible in the old fashion or the new fashion or the newest fashion. Whatever Bible you got, you can delete every Bible verse and leave just those passages that cry that one word from God, come. Just leave those passages there, and there's a full gospel to preach just in those verses. Leave me just one word in the Bible. That word, come. Just that one string on the instrument that I play. And I can sing the entire story of redemption and stand with the angels themselves and proclaim the greatness and the majesty of God. Come is one of the great words of the gospel of Christ. He said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. John 10:10. That's why he's here. To give that invitation. Come. Today is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is bittersweet. It's a time of cheers and a time of tears. Jesus enters Jerusalem on a young donkey, and the people are cheering him, placing branches, palm branches, in front of him. And they're shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes. Jesus' entrance to Jerusalem had been planned for a long, long time. Not just the months of travel previous, but the events of Passion Week were planned before the world was created. Because Jesus was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. So all of this had already been planned. How he would enter, the prophets had already told. Behold, he comes riding on the colt of a donkey. The people were screaming. They were ecstatic. The prophets, they spoke of this week, gave great detail. The prophecies will be fulfilled in amazing detail to every little jot or tittle. In case you don't know, a jot is like a dot over an I and a tittle is a comma. Makes sense, doesn't it? I hope it's right. The promised Savior is coming to town. This is what they had been looking for. This is what they'd been praying for. This is what they had been longing for. Just prior to his entrance, he stood calling to Jerusalem about how he longed to come to them and to gather them together. In Luke chapter 13, 34, as a hen would gather her chicks. But you were not willing. How can that be when they're cheering him? They misunderstand what's happening. He's giving them an invitation to come to God. They're really not interested in that. They want a warrior. The Lord stands today in this house, all over the world, in every nation, kindred, and tongue. There's people that are worshiping Him and they're glorifying Him. Many misunderstand. He's giving an invitation. He stands ready to come to us or for us to come to Him. He's beckoning. Come unto me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me. Oh, I long to come to you and gather you together. That word to Noah, it'll speak to us this morning. That's point one, the word to Noah. Noah stands high on the list of the saviors of mankind. He comes upon the stage at a moment, at a time of great crisis in the history of the race of man. The whole earth is corrupt before God. When we see what's going on in our world today, we wonder how it could have been more corrupt back then than it is today. But there's something you have to remember. I like when it says that unless he that restrains be taken out of the way, that the man of sin cannot come to his rightful place. Something is holding back not only the hand of God, but the hand of Satan. Something is standing between judgment and man or the earth. You and I, as a part of the church, the wickedness and the ungodliness of our generation, as terrible as it is covered, it is relieved, it is held at bay by every godly believer, every earnest prayer that's pleading. Every one of us, every time we pray, we're pushing back the hand of darkness. Every time you and I stand in the gates of God and begin to call upon Him, We're pushing back the darkness. It's the faithful of God who's making a difference in our world today. Noah didn't have it in his day. It was he and his family. This morning, from every corner of the earth, prayers of intercession, prayers of repentance are going up. Thousands upon thousands of people will be saved this morning. Thousands upon ten thousands around this world will repent, put aside sin, and come to God. Were it not for that, God might quickly come against the earth again in judgment. But because we are making a difference, I know sometimes we sit here and say, why should I even pray? You want to know why you pray? Right there. I just told you. Because every time you pray, you push back the darkness. Not only here, but all around this world. Not only were the action of men corrupt, but the very foundation of human action, human thought, human imagination was defiled beyond belief. Genesis 6 and 5 says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Oh, we're getting to that point. You see things in the media. We're in the Bible Belt, don't forget. So things are a little bit calmer here than other places. There are some places that it burn your hair off just to walk down the street. Because it is raunchy. Continually, evil thoughts. That's the way it was in the day of Noah. Because of this worldwide wickedness, God sent his word. And it went forth in destruction of the world. I'm sorry that I made man. I'm going to wipe them off the face of the planet. Noah, you have favor in my eyes. Build an ark in order that you might save yourself and others who might want to be saved, members of your family. I'm going to send a flood of judgment upon mankind. In prompt obedience, Noah sprang into action. And in spite of all the scoffing and the ridicule that he must have gotten, that he did get, the Bible tells us about it, we have one of the greatest examples of faith that's recorded in the Bible. He was preparing for something that had never been seen, never been experienced, never been known. On nothing but the Word of God. He was building an ark. Miles and miles and miles from water. There was an old dude years ago. Had a little bitty creek in back of his house, and he built a huge shrimp boat. Took him years to build it. The newspapers went out, took pictures of it, told all about it. People laughed at him. They called him the modern day Noah. And they would ask him, how are you going to get it from here down to the ocean? He says, There'll be a way. Don't worry about it. It'll get done. About 5-6 months after he finished building it. It was all finished, except the main mast. He had not put that up because there was one bridge he would not be able to go under. And there was a flood that came. A high tide with a nor'easter. And it had been raining for weeks. And that whole back of his house, where the boat was, everything flooded. The boat floated. He had already mapped out that creek. He went from his house to the ocean. Yeah. Noah, you're crazy. No, God told me to do this. I'm not crazy. It's miles and miles away from the water. The water's coming to me. How's it going to get here? It's going to rain. What is rain? It's water that falls from the sky. Sure it is. Sometimes God giggles when he puts us in places like that. I don't know if he's ever stuck you out in a limb like that and then started sawing it off. But a couple of times I've been there. It's an awkward place to be. You just have to stand by faith. And that's what Noah did. Ages afterward, what he did had not been forgotten. It inspired the writer of Hebrews chapter 11. He was there in the greatest hall of fame of faith that there is. And it says in Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness. That is in keeping with faith. Son, I would love that. When the ark was finished, God said to Noah, chapter 7, verse 1, come into the ark, you and your household. In other words, come in and be with me. Then when Noah and his family had taken refuge and they were inside the ark, God sealed it with his finger. And it says in verse 7, 19 through 23, the waters rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains were under the entire heavens were covered. Every living thing that moved on the land perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in his nostrils died. Nothing left to the imagination. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in his nostrils died, verse 22 says. Verse 23, every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals and the creatures that moved along the ground and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those that was in the ark with him. Death, 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 universal death. They were shut in with God. We're going to see something like that again. Except it's the rapture. And we that's going to go with him. You can go into Rome today and look in the catacombs. And that's where the early Christians lay their dead. And one of the most frequent pictures that you'll see as a symbol of Christian hope and faith is an ark floating upon the waters. The ark is a symbol of the church. And still the church floats above the world's judgments and the world's immorality. And still the people of God say to the sons of men, come into the ark. You and your house, come. We're calling out to a lost and a dying generation. Come. We have the words of life. We have hope. And the only hope is in Christ. And we need to be calling even more. You and I must have the highest love for the church because it's God's plan for the world today. Make no apologies for the church. You don't have to defend it. God will defend it. The gates of hell will not prevail against my church, Jesus said. But say to the perishing, that very word that God said in the very beginning, come into the ark. When you and I invite folks to come to church, remember, that's not your words. That's not man's words. It's not the pastor's words. It's God's words. He said them before we did. With that invitation, with that word come, the history of redemption begins and it closes. God said to Noah when the flood destroyed the world, come into the ark. And in the apocalypse in Revelation, when we see the long battle with sin and darkness is coming to a head, John heard the voice of God saying in Revelation 22:17, come, the Spirit and the bride say come. Our message to a lost and a dying world today is come. It's the word that was spoken to blind Bartimaeus. Come. That's point two. The word to Bartimaeus. It was a bright morning, possibly in the spring. Bartimaeus finds a sunny spot against a wall and he waits to see what the day is going to bring him. He has thoughts that maybe some rich guy is going to come by and put a lot in his little cup, in his bowl. As he sits, he hears in the distance the hum of voices and the shuffling of feet. His trained ear begins to understand that it's more than just the usual street traffic that's coming his way. This is special. When those who were ahead of the procession, they started hurrying by and Bartimaeus could hear them. He just reached out his hand and he grabbed a hold of one of them and he said, what's going on? What's happening here? What's all the excitement? The man, freeing himself and hurrying on, answered in passing, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Jesus of Nazareth is coming. Jesus of Nazareth. Bartimaeus said, I've heard of him. Some say that he's a good man. Some say he's an imposter. But I remember when Henry said that he had healed a blind person. He had raised somebody from the dead. He had opened blinded eyes. And he had raised somebody that was already dead. If he's able to do that, then maybe he can do something for me. Hope, for the first time in years, began to rise up in him. Bartimaeus sits silently. His skillful ear letting him know when the crowd is getting closer and closer. And just as they're surrounding him and they're right there, suddenly he begins to lift up his voice and he cries out in a tone that's so loud that every person can hear above the hum and the hubbub of all that's going on. In Mark chapter 10, verse 47, it says that he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." That cry, loud and piercing, went out. Those that were near Bartimaeus, they began immediately, "Hush, hush, hush. Be quiet. Keep it down." Probably the Pharisees and the leaders of the people, that official welcoming committee, they interrupted Bartimaeus and said, "Shut up, beggar. We don't want anything out of you." Even some of the religious people, "You keep quiet, beggar." Sometimes we pass judgment on those who need it the most. You know, it's bad enough for you not to come to Jesus. But it's worse if not only you won't come, but you stop others from coming. I know parents that won't let children come. I know children that won't let parents come. Husbands that won't let wives, and wives won't let husbands. If you'll not come, be sure that you don't hinder others. The move by bystanders in rebuking Bartimaeus just made him more determined, and he got louder. I love that. Defiance. And he cried more and more, and they, "Hush, hush, 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 hush." But Jesus stood still. I love it. Jesus heard that one cry. Everybody going crazy around him. Many people saying, "Hush, hush, 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 hush." But that one cry, he heard it and stopped dead still. See this picture. Omnipotence. That all-powerful one stops in his way to hear the cry of human sorrow and misery. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by today, right here, right now. Those who call on him will cause him to stop and stand still. The moment Jesus stopped, that chief of the town began to apologize. "I'm sorry, we tried to get all the beggars off the street. We tried to make sure that the streets would be clean for you to go through." And Jesus said, "Hush, bring him to me. Tell him to come to me." I love it. Mark chapter 10, verse 49, the New Living Testament. "Call him, tell him to come to me." That word "come." They looked in astonishment for a moment. And suddenly everybody's tone changed. He's asking for you. Here's your staff. Here's your cloak. Come on. He's wanting to talk to you. Come on, come on. And Bartimaeus, he just pushed everybody aside, threw his cloak, threw his staff, and got on his way. He went in the direction of the voice. Oh, listen to me. Always go in the direction of the voice. My sheep hear my voice, and none other will they follow. Follow that voice. He will let you know. Oh, but what if it's the wrong one? If you're intent and you're serious, it'll be the right one. You know it. Jesus, the light of the world, standing still, and the blind beggar that's covered in darkness, light meeting darkness on the side of the road. Right there, Jericho. Jesus knew exactly what he wanted. But still he asked him in Mark 10:51, New Living Testament, what do you want me to do? Bartimaeus didn't say, Lord, would you give me a new set of threads? You know, I've been wearing these a long time and they stink. People don't like to be around me. So can I have some fine clothes? He didn't say, God, would you put me in a nice house? Lord, would you make me ruler over these idiots? The one thing did he ask, Mark 10:51, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I really want to see. I want to see the sky that men have told me is so blue. I want to see the hills beyond Moab, beyond Jordan. I want to see the temple of God that everybody says is so beautiful. Lord, would you restore my sight? For 4 months, every night, I prayed those prayers. When I had fallen and hit my head and I was having double vision, I'm saying, God, would you please restore my sight? I claim it. Bartimaeus claimed it, and I claim it. Open my eyes that I might see, he asks. Then Jesus said in Mark 10:52, go your way, your faith has healed you. The word come is here. It's when Jesus spoke it, directing them to tell him to come. It's what Jesus would ask us to do today. He called for him to come, and the beggar came. There were three things that he did. Number one, he called. Number two, he ran. Number three, he believed and then he saw. There were three things that Jesus did. He's still doing today. He was passing by. He stood still and he called for Bartimaeus to come. If Bartimaeus had not called out, please hear this. I'm closing. I'm very, very close. I know some of you don't believe that. But I am, and it'll be gone before you know it. And I don't want you to miss it. Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. It was the last time that he would ever go through Jericho. He wasn't coming next week, week after next. This was it. If Bartimaeus had not called out, if he had not come to Christ that morning, his eyes would have never been opened. Always, for somebody, Jesus is passing by. For somebody here today, he's passing by. And for you, it could be the last time that he comes through Rock Hill. There might not be another time. might be the last time for you that he walks through First Assembly of God. I don't know. But if you'll call out to him, he'll stand still. He'll stop everything that's going on. It'll be more wonderful than the sun stopping for Joshua. He will call out to you, come to me. The word that I'm going to leave you with, I'm not getting to that last word, but the last word is come also. But what I'm going to leave you with is come. Today may be your day. What better day could there be? Your greatest hope is in that stopped Savior who is standing and waiting. He's waiting on you. Bow your heads with me, would you please?